It's not just a home or a car. It's the 6 months you've saved for the Ultra HD flat screen and the overtime you worked for that third car so your teen can drive himself to practice. While other insurance companies just see them as a bundle or a combo, State Farm agent Tony Hoagland sees your home and car as things you work really hard for. Tony understands what your things really mean to you and is here to help you give them the protection they deserve. Talk to State Farm agent Tony Hoagland in Champlin for your home and auto insurance today. That's ChamplinInsurance.com.
Off-season? What off-season? We'll be here all summer long giving you fresh, new, and inspiring content with some pretty amazing guests, like this week's peek into blind hockey and the Hendrickson Foundation. Presented by SodaStick, brought to you by Jim Beam, Better Edge, and State Farm Insurance agent Tony Hoagland. This is episode 76.
Who is living that McGolden Light lake life? Check out SodaStick.com for the perfect Minnesota summer collab. Plus, dollar bill krill tees, a restocked Master's hat, and so much more, including your favorite Bardown Beauties merch. Use Bardown Beauties at checkout for free shipping on all purchases at SodaStick.com.
At Jim Beam, they know the importance of tradition, like chanting Let's Play Hockey prior to the start of each game, or playing the State of Hockey anthem after a wild win. This season, raise one to your fan family with the bourbon that invites us all to come as friends and leave as family. Jim Beam Bourbon Whiskey, the official bourbon whiskey partner of the Minnesota Wild and XL Energy Center. Remember, drink smart. Jim Beam Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume, copyright 2021, James B. Beam Distilling Company, Incorporated, Claremont, Kentucky.
Hello, everybody. We're back. Episode 76. Let's go. I know it's the off season. Wonk, wonk, wonk. But I think we're going to use this off season to really try something new with our Bar Down Beauties podcast. It's going to be quick. It's going to go through really fast before we're back for another NHL season. But in the interim, we want to introduce you to some guests and share some storylines of people that maybe you don't hear about. We'll still talk NHL news as it comes up, expansion draft, free agency, all of that good stuff, development camp. But we also want to talk with some interesting folks who have some really interesting stories, still involved in hockey, still involved in sport, and mostly still involved in the community here. So that we'll kick that off today with the Minnesota Blind Hockey Association and the Hendrickson Foundation, which we were so thrilled to be a part of this past weekend out at the Blaine Super Rink. So shout out to everybody that had us out there. We'll have a special video component. Thank you, producer Fred. Are you ready for that, Fred? A nice special highlight video.
I am always ready.
Always ready. So be sure to stay tuned to our YouTube channel for that really cool behind the scenes vlog look. But yeah, Alexis, I'm excited about doing a little change up rather than just trying to force conversation about every team that's not the Minnesota Wild in the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, I don't know if I can emotionally make it through an entire off season of talking about every team that's not the Minnesota Wild. So we've got an idea here to bring content to you that's hockey related, but not necessarily in-season content that you normally get. And Hendrickson Foundation stuff is cool because that was really like the first big event that we really did as Bar Down Beauties, like outside of our podcast and outside of our interviews. That was like the first thing we were really invited to be a part of. So like
we felt like we were kind of cool at that moment,
we thought,
right?
Was like 2 months in, we were like, damn, okay, we're really that cool.
That was around the Carly Zucker episode, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like episode 4?
It was shortly after because we had like, I remember she was one of the MCs for the event. And so we were kind of hanging out with her.
But
so
it was all Paul Fletcher's episode, one where we had Danny and Paul.
Yeah.
And then I had to run and go
That was
interview
a mess.
Bruce.
On Valentine's Day, wasn't it?
Yes. But they still liked us. They still invited us out. We got to drink beer on the bench with
with a lot of cool people. Yeah.
And so coach, we won.
We did win. It took a lot of effort. We had to pull the goalie late and win it in OT, but it was all part of the fun. And so they'll kind of always have a special place, I think, in our heart for Bar Down Beauties because they were the first organization to invite us out to do something. And so excited to take part in something else that they're involved in here and Minnesota Blind Hockey. And so it's really cool. We love doing this kind of stuff and excited that they asked us to come out again.
Yeah, if you guys haven't familiarized yourself with blind hockey, it is the most amazing thing. A couple years ago, I was introduced to it, writing a story on it, and it's just, it's phenomenal. I can barely skate, right, in general, and what these athletes are out there doing is just tremendous. And just to have that avenue, I mean, there's a lot, you know, I love, obviously, hockey is for everyone. We talk about it all the time, and to have this ability for athletes to come out and play is truly tremendous. So that's coming up at our next break for our guest spot. So stay tuned. If you guys have storylines that maybe are interesting, and again, kind of hit that grassroots community at home feel, whether it's a coach, a mom, a player, a trainer, anything like that that you want to share, certainly hit us up, shoot us an email, send us a DM, whatever it may be. We'd love to hear it, because again, that's going to be a kind of our main focus for this offseason. That's going to do it. We don't have much news for you. Alexis, do you want to talk about Toronto being done already, or you want
to
move on?
No, come on now. You really going to bring that up on a Friday?
I literally laughed. I was like, Alexis is already
done. You know, when I tweeted it in the morning that they were my new team, I'm like, I just know they're going to lose game 7. I just know, because I didn't keep my mouth shut. I put it out on Twitter, and now they're going to let me down too. And sure enough, they lose in game 7. Everyone's making fun of me. Both my teams are out. This happens every year. I somehow managed to pick two teams who play identically in the postseason, where like they just can never win the first round. And so I'm just doomed for disappointment year after year. So
I mean, having Toronto be in existence makes me feel okay about being a Minnesota Wild.
It really does. Like,
that's just really sad. You know, it's funny, because I made a bet on Better Edge, BETTOREdge.com, that the Montreal Canadiends would win game 7.
Come
so
on
I ended
now.
Up winning like $65 bucks on that, which was pretty phenomenal. I'm sorry I went against your Toronto Maple Leafs. You can't go against a hot Carey Price.
You can't. He was on fire. Yeah.
He was looking phenomenal. So very cool. Again, speaking of Better Edge, obviously we have started round 2 of Beat the Butte. Currently Alexis is in first place, Woo-hoo! Which I was like, well, that's goddamn embarrassing for me.
I forgot whatever. Who I even picked after the first day, and I went back. I was like, oh, no way. I'm in first place. Love that.
It moves quick. It moves up and down very fast. Yes. Yeah. No, but thank you to everybody who joined us in for round 2. Don't forget to check out betteredge.com, BETTOREdge.com. Snag a free $10 with code BEAUTS, BEAUTS. Make a bet on the NHL Stanley Cup, make a bet on MLB basketball, whatever may have you. My husband would love for anybody to bet against him too. That's been his big thing lately, because I don't. He's very into it. He's been an addict now, so that's always good.
Oh boy.
We'll talk about that later. But yeah, be sure to check them out. Always good stuff happening there as usual. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk some more blind hockey. Stay tuned.
It might be the off season, but that doesn't mean you can't still shop Bardon Beauty's apparel. Get yourself a tank to add to your summer wardrobe, or a Bardon Beauty sticker to slap on your water bottle to stay hydrated in the summer heat. Whatever you want, we've got it. All at our Bardon Beauty's Teespring store.
We're back. Joining us now, Jason Berger, head coach with Minnesota Blind Team. Jason, how are you? And thanks for having us out with the Blind Team. I learned so much. It was so amazing to see those athletes in action at the Hendrickson Foundation.
Yeah, thanks for coming out. It is fun having you guys out. And yeah, it was a successful weekend. Everybody had a blast, and it was a pretty good turnout.
How did you get involved in blind hockey? I mean, it's something that's still so new. It's only been around about 3 years here in Minnesota. But what was it that really drew you to get involved and to coach, of all things?
Yeah, so yeah, this is the third year of the Wild blind hockey. So I guess kind of came down to me knowing a guy who knows a guy. Guy that I play beer league hockey with, he's walked into our locker room before a game, and he's like, hey, the Wild blind hockey team are looking for some volunteers. Anybody want to help? I'm like, I mean, blind hockey, you know? Well, it's blind hockey, you know? And so, quite honest with you, I volunteered only to kind of check it out, see what it was all about, you know? And once I got there, helping these players out, just seeing the smiles on their faces, having a good time, it's like all the players felt free being out there. You know, being a part of a team, everybody had a Wild blind hockey jersey on, feeling great. And I just knew I wanted to be a part of it. So I reached out to Lonnie Evans, who's the head of the program, see if I can really get involved. And I'm one of the coaches and on the board of directors and helping grow the program.
You got hooked then, huh?
Yeah, I got hooked. It's it's easy to do. I mean,
yeah,
you know, we all love hockey. It's a state of hockey, and you know, everybody has a chance to play now, and it's just so much fun helping these guys out. And I think they've taught me more than I've taught them, you know, so I learn a lot from these kids and adults too. So it's a great, great deal.
Well, I think one of the coolest things is seeing kind of, you know, it's still the game of hockey, but there's a few things a little different about it to kind of accommodate for some of the disabilities that these athletes have. And seeing the way they adjust to these accommodations just fascinates me. So tell people a little bit about some of the things that make blind hockey a little bit different from a typical game of hockey that is useful for these athletes to adjust to the game better.
Yeah, so we try to keep it as the same as possible, but the pucks are a lot bigger. They're made out of metal. They have ball bearings inside of it, so when the puck moves, it rattles. Then the players just follow the rattle around, the noise. There's different whistles. We still have offsides. We use electronic whistles. Once you cross into the offensive zone, you have to complete one pass before you can take a shot at net.
It's a good whistle that the officials are blowing then at that time, as opposed to a not great whistle, right? Exactly. In your case.
Exactly. That's the sound you want to hear. So when the players complete one pass, the whistle will sound like almost like a chirping noise, I guess. And that'll give the goalie an opportunity to kind of set up and track the puck. And then once the whistle is sounded, then you can go ahead and take a shot on net. So that's another big difference. Basically, just the whistle that you use and the puck is probably the biggest two differences.
Right. And you had mentioned too, I mean, the different little tiny adaptations you've made as a coach. I know you showed us your coach's board and you used paint, because really there's still not a lot available for these blind athletes, right? As far as, you know, certain modifications go for the game to help you coach that.
No, there's not. So as right now, everybody's kind of winging it. So yeah, Coach Lonnie, he went out and got a dry erase board. And then just put, whatever to trace the some glue and some paint or whatever to trace the outline of the rink, so it has like a braille effect on it. So we do have a few players on the team that can't see at all. So that's where that comes in handy. So we'll get them on the ice. We'll kind of, show with like their finger where they are in the ice, and they can kind of trace the ice rink with their hand, so they can kind of visualize where they are at the ice.
I suppose, and they're relying on all those other senses. I mean, you mentioned the rumbling of the puck. I mean, it's really phenomenal to witness.
It's amazing. Yeah. I mean, you watch a game, you can't believe that all these players can't see. It's like, holy smokes, you know? Yeah. But yeah, when they're living with, being blind or just can't see much, they're used to, picking up on different things like around them. Like, for example, like at the ice arena, different noises around the arena, they'll kind of stand in one spot, kind of stand still and pick up what's around them. Then they kind of orientate themselves that way too. So if they go down to one end of the rink, they're like, okay, well, there's that fan noise over there, so I know I'm at this spot. So it's crazy how they pick up different sounds around the rink.
Right.
Well, and you were talking about, we talked to you about the variation in blindness among the team. And as you had mentioned, there's some players who have a little bit better vision than others. And the way that they differentiate that in positions is the goalie is the most blind on the team, can't see at all. And then from there, the blindness lessens. So the defenseman can see slightly better, and then the forwards even better than that. And I think one of the most amazing things to me was watching the goalies perform, knowing that they can't see anything. And I was watching their movements and they still track the puck so well. And how do you coach the goalies knowing that they have that level of a disability, and coach them to still play the game and stop the puck as well as they were when we were watching them?
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? So in the game you guys were at, we had TJ and Sean in that. And to me, honestly, there's no way to coach it, because they have their own deal, So, we all know that goalies are a little bit odd to begin with.
So that stays the same in the game too, then, huh? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, there's no difference there, that's for sure. But in our case, instead of getting a frozen piece of rubber chucked at them, it's a piece of steel that's made.
Right.
So that makes it even worse. So. I guess for us, the Wild Blind program, we actually do have a goalie coach. It's a player from the Cambridge Isani team that comes in and helps out. So she kind of helps out, with like the side-to-side motion and going from post to post. But other than that, it's kind of up to the goalie to figure out where the puck is. Communication is huge. The forwards will kind of yell out, like, you know, where the puck is, if it's on the half wall, if it's down the corner, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, going to like the different types of blindness or whatever, the levels of blindness. Yeah, the goalies are completely blind. And then the defensemen, the next, you know, worst vision. Then the forwards can generally see pretty well. I really don't have an issue with the forwards too much. But it's really the defensemen, the goalies that you really have to help out and communicate.
And I imagine that's a safety aspect, right? Just because the forwards are maneuvering around the ice in a very different manner than a goalie or maybe a stay-at-home defenseman.
Exactly, exactly. That's what it comes down to, pretty much safety.
Yeah. No, we, you know, and keeping on kind of the goalie thing, because again, I think it's just phenomenal. And the teamwork, watching the teammate circle the goalie and help him or her off the ice or down the line to shake hands is just so cool to see too, because that's what you love to see about hockey players, right? But I noticed when during the free ice time that you guys had in between games, there was a goalie there that was kind of saying, you know, NHL goalies do a lot of the same things that we do. You feel where the post might be. You work on your side-to-side motion. I mean, how cool is it to see so many non-blind players like yourself and like this goalie coach kind of come out and help these blind players and still make them feel like, hey, you're still a hockey player. You're not doing a whole lot different than what we're doing on a day-to-day basis either.
Yeah, exactly. That's huge. You know, it's yeah, I forget that goalie's name, but somebody that Danny rounded up.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was so patient with EVR goalie, and mm-hmm. in like the 20 or 30 minutes that he worked with her, she picked up on so much. It was crazy. So, and then Landon Johnson, he was out helping out.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's important to our program to get, you know, hockey players or, you know, people that are interested in hockey or know anything about hockey to come out and help out. So it's huge to have those kind of guys come out.
Right. Similar to the other designations under special hockey or the disabled hockey umbrella, you guys allow players of all ages, all skill levels, all genders to come and participate, right? As long as they're interested and have their certain disabilities, correct?
Yep, all genders, all ages. On the Wild Blind program, we have two players, Winnie and Baylin. They're both 5 or 6 years old now. Then our oldest guy, Jeff, he's 55 or 56.
Wow.
He's actually trying out for the U.S. national team. He was out there this weekend playing against the national team. He did quite well too. So, so I guess for us, it's kind of a 50-50 split. We have ages 6 through 13 and then a handful of players ages, I don't know, probably late 20s to up to Jeff, 55. So it's kind of a split for us.
Sure.
Something else that I thought was pretty interesting is just like, you know, as we were putting stuff on our social media and seeing people's reaction to this stuff is the amount of people who probably have never come out to watch a blind hockey game before. And I know Jesse and I were just fascinated the entire time we were there. And when we got to see you guys play last year as well at the Hendrickson tournament, what is it like for these players to know that people are coming out to experience these games with them? Because I'm sure they're trying to, you know, get fans out there and get people to come watch and see what they do because they work so hard to get these opportunities and to play this sport. How cool is it when people come out to watch these players?
Yeah, it's really cool. I know Danny last couple of years, he did a really good job of having the Wild Blind program go on the ice right before the celebrity game. Cause you know, people are trying to get a seat for the celebrity game, but at the same time they're watching us, you know? And so that really put us out there for, you know, get a lot of people's attention. So Danny was very important person to, you know, kind of really get, you know, a lot of people, you know, make awareness of, you know, blind hockey. So big thank you to him for the nice ice time. And yeah, I mean, now like when we take the ice, you see more and more people in the stands and more people are hearing about us. And it's pretty cool to see everybody checking us out.
I mean, do you obviously see it continuing to grow? I know we had talked with one of the players, Caleb, during the free ice, and he had mentioned that other sports don't really have a specific blind hockey team. They certainly adapt in different ways, but he said hockey was kind of one that he felt was the most similar to maybe how the real sport is played or the one that has really made the efforts. Do you see blind hockey just growing? I mean, again, we're still kind of in its infancy here, only 3 years in, but I mean, do you foresee it just continuing to get bigger and bigger?
I do. Yep. Especially, you know, since Hendrickson Foundation. They've been everything to us, getting people in from across the country playing. We had,
yeah.
So the game you watched, there was 10 blind players coming in from all over the country, and they didn't know each other. None of their families knew each other. And it was a great time for their families to get together and stuff like that. When I first got involved, there's only, I think like 9 teams across the country. Now there's 19. Wow. So it's grown just 3 years.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just see it continue growing. Has huge response across the country, and it is the one sport that's the same to the original. You know, I mean, you have blind baseball, it's a lot different. Soccer is a little bit different, but hockey, they try to keep it as normal as possible. And yeah, the numbers keep growing. So it's a cool deal.
No, I mean, again, we were certainly so honored just to go out there and check it out and be around it, get to know some of these players, get to know yourself, obviously, and what you're doing is really absolutely tremendous for the sport. I think my favorite part of this entire weekend, whether it's blind hockey, whether it's disabled hockey, whether it's special hockey, I mean, again, all those designations out at the super rink under the Hendrickson Foundation and really getting them exposure, but really everyone's treated just like a hockey player, you know. Certainly they all have their own disabilities as they perceive them, but it really shows that we're all just love the game of hockey and how much hockey really means to the betterment of some lives. I mean, is that just the same for you? Kind of what hooked you in from the very beginning?
Yeah. I mean, I actually get a lot of comments from the parents. It's like, don't take it easy on my kid. They mess up in practice, let them know. It's you know, you can't treat them any different. I mean, they're human, you know. If we want them to do something in practice or ask them to do something, they, you know, can't do the drill or whatever, it's like, line up and do it again. If you mess up again, we're skating laps, you know. So it's
right,
you know, you treat them the same, you know, it is what it is. And so yeah, it's great.
I remember Danny told us a funny story about when he and his brother and I think Bruno and a couple of the Wild guys had hosted one of the blind teams, and one of the players had bumped into, I think, Darby and said, you know what, I'm going to be honest, didn't see you there.
That's the other fun thing. They make fun of themselves too, you know, like, so this year, cause of COVID, our numbers were a little bit down, but last couple of years we've had 22, 23 players on the team. And every player sees differently.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the times I'm like, okay, well, go line up over there. We're going to go do this drill. So half the squad will go over there and do the drill. The other people are like, coach, I don't know where over there is. What are you talking about? You gotta drag me over there. So it's so they do poke fun of themselves a lot. And it takes a lot of pressure off the coaches. We do have Coach Brian. He's the head coach on the team. He has not one, but two kids on the team. So he definitely knows how to deal with it. But for me, you know, it's all a new process, and it takes a lot of pressure off me, stuff like that, when they can joke around about their own disability.
You're not worried necessarily about being, you know, insensitive in your terminology of things.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. So I've caught myself a few times, like, you know, they miss a puck or a pass, or I'm like, what are you, blind? What are you doing? I'm like, oh, no.
Actually, I can imagine that has to be. And
yeah,
I'm sure they have that.
Slipped up a few times, but at the same time, it's, you know, nobody takes offense to it. And, you know, the players are really cool to work with and be around.
Right. No, again, well, we can't thank you enough for including us, and we're looking forward to hopefully a more normal season for you guys come October. How can our listeners get involved in blind hockey, whether they maybe want to come check out a game or make a donation or help out and volunteer their time? What are some good avenues for them to explore?
So you can go to mnwildblindhockey.com. We do have a donation tab on the top right corner. You can click on that to donate to help us out. All that money will go to ice time, equipment, travel is huge. So for us to play games, we have to go to other states, you know. So we're gonna be traveling this year, going to probably New York, DC this weekend. The head of the Maine program invited us out to Maine, so donations are huge to us. So yeah, you can just go to mnwildblindhockey.com, email us, get involved. We practice at TRIA every Sunday, October through usually March or April. It's every Sunday out at TRIA. If you just want to stop by, usually like 3 to 4:30 p.m. we practice.
Nice.
Nice. So yeah, stop on out, check us out. Otherwise, go to our website and get some more info there.
I love it. Well, again, Jason, thank you so much for taking the time to join us and for having us out on an absolutely phenomenal week. And we couldn't be more honored to have been there. Joining us now, the man, the myth, the legend, Danny Hendrickson. Danny, what's going on? How are you?
You know, I'm doing great. Just a wonderful weekend with the Hendrickson Foundation Festival, the fifth year. So how are you?
I mean, heck, we're great. We were able to come out to the Hendrickson Foundation again this year. Check it out. Obviously love everything that you and your family have done to really highlight, promote all special hockey, disabled hockey, blind hockey, all that good stuff. I mean, from your perspective, how did the year go? Another success it looked like from being there.
You know, it's funny because this year was obviously unique. And the last year we did our festival February 21 to 23. Two weeks later, the world shuts down. And then May 28th, we get all mandates removed if you're fully vaccinated. And our tournament's, you know, the first week after. So it was, the timing was lucky, but yeah, it was just an awesome weekend.
I mean, it looked like a great number of teams were out there competing. You had the fans. From your perspective, did it feel, yeah, like everything was kind of back to normal finally?
Totally. Obviously, we strongly, as the MDH says, we strongly encourage people to wear masks and are vaccinated, but there was not a lot of masks. But we had 60 teams from all over the nation playing blind, special, sled, and warrior, military veterans all weekend long. It was totally awesome. People were shaking hands, looking at people in the eye, and every once in a while, people would spit when they talk, so the masks were good for covering that up, but it was awesome.
Well, and you guys got to do the celebrity game again and had some people out there for that, and Jesse was able to make it back to watch that. I wasn't able to, but I saw lots of pictures. It was fun to see everybody back together again. How did the celebrity game go this year?
Don't talk about the score, Danny.
It was a disaster. We don't pay anybody at the Hendrickson Foundation, but but the referees know their job is to make it a one-goal game. They couldn't do anything. It was like 7-1 or something for a while. And they said we get 3 goals if we score. But it was awesome. I mean, Darby's out there, Ryan Malone, and Jesse behind the bench. So Audra Martin at halftime is doing a sled race with Morty and, you know, other mascots. So it's just all positive energy and fun.
Yeah, I mean, poor Audra. She's like 0-4 in the sled race. I don't know if she...
She won in her first year, and she's like pissed now that she doesn't win. I'm like, but she got a little cocky, I swear. Yeah. She won the first year, and she's like, this sled stuff's so easy. How wide the sled is makes it easier when you're going straight, but how close the blades are together... That's what the elite guys do. So, like, if you want to mess with somebody, you give them the ones that, like, the guys that are awesome at sled because they can turn. But if you want – but it's super hard. But, yeah, no, Audra's – she's a star. We love her, and it was fun that she came back out.
She looked like she had just pure determination on her face before it started, and then she quickly fell behind and fell over. Yeah, and yeah. It was game over. Like, all right, Audra, there you go. You know, we had talked with some of the blind hockey folk on Saturday. Alexis and I were able to go check out that game more closely and in depth. I know we'd been around it a little bit before, but it was really great to see how much that designation has grown under the Hendrickson Foundation. Tell us a little bit about what you've seen as far as growth and including them in the festival.
Yeah, it's so blind hockey, like it's hard for me to even fathom. And I've been out and skated with those guys, a handful of times. So we've got the Minnesota Wild blind hockey team. They were out there, and they rank them by red, white, and blue. So red would be the highest, and blue would be the lowest. And they're a blue level. But we also had, I don't think they skated a ton this year. So mm-hmm. I think everybody appreciated being back out. But we also had the USA blind hockey team out there. And then Jason Berger also set up where we had a white division. We brought 2 teams in from all over the nation, and this wasn't like a tournament style, but they practiced and scrimmaged a couple of times, and You know, I got to meet a ton of new families and people with that. So, yeah, we had a bunch of blind, and yeah, it was awesome.
And you guys have had them before. I know you had mentioned, I think it was you and Darby and Bruno had skated with them, and they have a good sense of humor, right, about themselves and about their yeah, position on the ice.
I think I've told you this one, but so Darby is out there, and he's just skating down the ice, and one of the blind guys is going off the ice, and he runs into Darbs, and it's literally a yard sale. Like, sticks are, I mean, I think gloves are off, sticks are out, and everyone's kind of stops, and, like, you want to make sure nobody's hurt. Yeah. And the guy gets up a hair second before Darby and goes, not going to lie to you, couldn't see you. And then everybody laughs. It's that hockey banner that we just love, and it's a locker room. It's how hockey changes lives, and yeah, and I met the guy that did that. He's like, I'm that guy. And I'm like, that's so good, man. I've told that story like 10 times.
Well, and I think that honestly is my favorite part about the festival, having been around it, is it's, you know, certainly, again, you don't ever say like, oh, they're disabled, this is holding them back. But it truly just feels like we're just hockey players out here for the weekend. We're fans of hockey. We're just out playing hockey. I mean, the games are all competitive. Everyone's having fun. I mean, you kind of forget about any of those disabilities per se, and you get to focus on hockey and what the love of the game, which is really, really cool.
Totally pure. Like, it's awesome. And Sled and Warrior, they, you know, they're competing. Like, Sunday's Championship Sunday, it's my favorite day. Friday and Saturday, there's a lot going on with me personally, but there's so many people there. And then Sunday, it's a championship. And watching, you know, a youth or adult sled hockey player, the Warriors, these guys that have obviously served our country, like, they want to win. I mean, I've played it enough. What I call my leagues that I play now, beer leagues, but it's like you want to win. It's more fun to win, and to watch the close games and see them win. Like, people are throwing their gloves off, and they're excited. We give them some pretty awesome trophies. So it's like, it's so cool, and it's not only just the players too. It's their whole families are around them, and
yeah,
like, hockey changes lives. It's not just the players. It changes their lives. And I'll just say this on the military level, like, there's people that serve our country. They might get hit with an IED. They might have watched their buddy get hit with one. And there's a thing called depression that's not fun for them. And then they get with other like-minded people. They get in the hockey locker room, which is better than any other sport, in my humble opinion. Mm-hmm. And that's their therapy. And it's pretty neat, and but it not only affects that person, that guy's happy, then his family's happy, and then the family members meet you know, other families, it becomes a family. So it's pretty cool. My dad started something that was pretty awesome, and we're humbly just trying to not screw it up.
Well, speaking of the families and the fans who come out to watch this stuff, Danny, rumor on the street, which went out on public television, is that there were some records broken this weekend for attendance. Can you confirm this?
It's 100% true. This year, number of teams we had was 60. We had 20. Well, there's a record right there. First year, let me do quick math. First year, 24 teams. This is year 5. 24, 32, 42, 54. In the year of the pandemic, we get 60, and we had to turn people away because we didn't have enough ice. Yeah. And then dollars raised, corporate dollars before, we raised 206 for this year. That's definitely a record. It costs like $100,000, like, to run it, not to get too mathy on people, but it's all public record from nonprofits, but it's hockey's expensive. So it's free for every single athlete. That we don't charge a dime. We give them drink tickets at a reception and feed them, of course. And then the other $100,000, you know, that's left over, we give it all to the Minnesota Disabled Program. So we're raising more money. We're giving more back. And I did get, I did an interview on Channel 4. And like, I was just like, I felt like I was Mean Gene Okerlund. I'm like, just record crowds. Like, I was like, I was just, I don't know if there's record crowds, but let's just go with it.
You go with it. That's what it's all about, right? Marketing yourself. Like, this is the best ever. There's nothing that's ever beaten this. This is it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well,
I think that's fair.
Yeah. And then we do say the We don't compete with anybody. We always have said the only festival or tournament that's better than this year is next year. So
there we go.
This was our best for sure. And I'm not saying that like I'm mean Gene Okerlund again. It was. And I know it. But yet next year will be better.
Are you guys going to go back kind of to your regular format? Like you had said, usually this is in February. Naturally, we're in June now just because of the way the year worked. Are you looking to get back to that normal schedule that you had originally had?
You know, I like June. I like June. I just do. It's, we had 2 feet of snow in February 2 years ago. And, this festival, it was over 100 degrees. So it's Minnesota, but it's, you know, June's pretty cool. Like when it comes to people in wheelchairs, you know, the accessibility factor in June is easier than snow.
Sure.
Even though they don't care. They can get through anything. I mean, they can deal with anything, but it's, I don't know. It's kind of fun. I feel like, I'm not going to say beer tastes better in the summer, but I don't know. There's something about the sun and beer that I like.
And you guys had some cool Miracle on Ice beer along with some 1980 Olympians. Who do you think was the better coach, Buzz Schneider or Neil Broughton?
You know, I know Neil better, but Buzz I've gotten to know. I'm going to go Neil just because he grew up at my house a little bit. Not, I grew up with him around my house a little bit, if I can speak. But my dad always loved him, and I think the reason he probably supports us is not only because the cause is worthy, but I think he liked my dad, or I know he liked my dad. And so I'm just going Neil just based on that I've known him longer.
You know what? That's fair. It was funny. Buzzy had said it was his first time out there. And after a couple beers, then you could see him kind of loosen up, and he was having a great time. Like he was like, this is fun. He had mentioned your dad and Herb Brooks were good old drinking buddies too.
They did. They actually, you know, it's funny. And this is, my dad picked him up from an airport to go to like a Minnesota camp. I think Herbie was like the featured guy. So like somebody's like, who can go pick up Herbie? So my dad like was like jumping out of his chair to do it. And he picked him up in a van. He showed up with a case of beer. This is not cool for any kids to hear, but this is a different era. But he showed up with a cooler of beer in this van. And I believe they were Olympia beers, if
nice.
To age them a little bit. And we're not going to say that they had them while they were driving.
No, of course not. This is all just,
But I think most of them were gone by the time they got there, and they showed up late. So I think they stopped and, you know, went to somewhere and had one or two. And they,
I love it.
Yeah, Herbie is a legend, and he was very influential with my dad.
You had mentioned, obviously, your dad had started this with these grand ideas, and you guys have been able to keep it going, take it a step further. You joke that you're not screwing it up, and you're certainly not. I mean, how exciting and fulfilling is it to see the same fanfare, Met records being broken, all of that good stuff as you continue to do all these different things under the Hendrickson Foundation?
You know, it was crazy because I think, obviously, Larry started something that was special, to use one of the programs on the word for one of the programs we support. But,
the key word that we have to hit.
Yeah. But it actually, like, when he died, obviously it's sad. You love your dad. But actually then people were like, what's he doing? Oh, he's supporting disabled hockey? Like, people kind of stepped up. And, like, in the Lua Flowers thing, I'm like, it's too tacky to say it goes to the Hendrickson Foundation. But, like, people are just started, like, it really elevated us. And so, like, we're trying to think about how we can generate more money. I'm like, what if we had my dad die again? But we can't do that. But no, it really, like, his death actually helped the foundation because people recognize, you know, what he had started or what he was doing. Sure. And it's such a noble and wonderful cause to, you know, change people's lives to the game of hockey for us all, you know, pucksters. And so it's fun, and it's I can say humbly, we're not screwing it up, and it's not it's a team, you know, the Hendrickson Foundation team or family, like, everybody's stepping up. It's getting bigger, and we are absolutely, Minnesota is absolutely the biggest state. We're the leaders when it comes to disabled hockey. Nobody can do what we've done as a state, and I know that the Hendrickson Foundation's had an influence on that.
I love it. Well, perfect. Well, anything that you guys, anything else you have going on this off season or any other ways that folks can get involved, whether they want to volunteer, whether they want to give back, what are some ways that our audience can learn more and be a part of the Hendrickson Foundation if they choose to?
You know, we have people that do our social media, but go check us out on social media. Obviously, if you want to follow us, that's cool. That we got the website, HendricksonFoundation.com. And then if you got any golfers out there, we're going to be out at Legends August 12th. I can't guarantee who's going to be there, but last year we had the whole Wild coaching staff, 8 Wild players. And, you know, I usually save like 3 foursomes for the guys that are really wealthy and that can afford, you know, the entry fee, we comp them. But we had, you know, August 12th, we'll be at Legends. And we'll have Wild represented for sure. Then they bring out the media, which is cool because then we get more publicity. But it's super fun. We're not going to change lives that day, but we're going to raise some money that's going to change lives the next day or the next day.
Yeah, I think that works out. Speaking of Wild, I mean, how are Darby's contract negotiations for coaching going?
Well, he's good. He's got another year, so it's good. It's fun to watch the Wilds when he doesn't have a contract the next year. Because I'm like, I hope he wins for the Wild, because then like he can afford to buy dinner for his family. But this year, I think he's good. But yeah, they I thought what a great season they had, though. Don't you think it was?
Yeah.
Carell was obviously decent, and you know, Vegas is not a terrible team. And,
did you just say Carell was decent? You just downplayed that.
He said he was obviously decent.
Yeah. Well, I think he got the whole state pretty excited.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I would say so. I mean, you hate to say it to, you know, a team after they lose, but it was a good year. You know, it was a very good year.
Yeah. And Bill Guerin came out to the festival this weekend as well, right?
Billy, he was there. Yeah. He was there with his buddy, Stan Hubbard, who has a kid that plays sled hockey, Ryan. I didn't expect to see him, but I went and said hello, and what a great guy. And it's cool when those guys, like, he didn't show up to obviously say hey the Wild supporting you. Billy showed up to support his friend Stan and his son Ryan, so it was really cool to see Billy.
You love it. Well, Danny, you're doing great stuff. We love to see it. We love to be a part of it. August 12th, be sure to check out and keep tuned for the golf tournament, and as always, we'll follow you, help you any way that you need us to. We love it. We completely support everything that you guys have going on. It's a great program. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, Bar Down Beauties. You guys bring positive energy and love.
We try. We once in a while. We're okay, right?
You guys are decent like Carell.
Yes, exactly. That's going to be my new slogan. Decent like Carell.
Obviously decent like Carell Kaprizov.
Perfect. We're going to take another quick break, guys. We'll be right back.
Hey guys, this is producer Fred. I just want to ask everyone to go out there and spread the word about Bar Down Beauties. Leave us a like, share, thumbs up, review, you name it, we want to hear from you. Find us on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and of course, your favorite podcast app.
We're back. Thanks again to the Hendrickson Foundation and Jason Bergman for having us out. And obviously to the amazing athletes and their families for putting the great showing on display at Blaine Super Rink. If you guys haven't been out there to check it out, they do this every single year. Obviously this year, a little bit later than normal. Usually it's during the hockey season, but still really, really cool. Be sure to follow along. Check out Minnesota Blind Hockey, Minnesota Special Hockey. See what you can do to support them, because we certainly love to do that. Hopefully we get some more of those athletes and coaches and families and mentors on throughout the offseason and throughout the regular season next year. Just a really cool experience.
Yeah, and luckily for blind hockey this year, hockey season in Minnesota is all year round. So really, you can have an event like this whenever, and people will show up and support it. So we originally were going to be there, back when they had it originally scheduled, and it had to get pushed out. And finally, we got a chance to do it, and glad to be a part of it. And it was really hot, but at least we got to be in a cold hockey rink, which usually you're freezing in a hockey rink. But on a weekend like that, it feels pretty good to be in a cold hockey rink.
So, I was gonna say it was too hot for for me. So I was like very welcoming to like, yes, let's go spend some
time. Like mid-90s? Yeah, that's perfect time for hockey.
I am too Minnesotan. Yes. Look, here we are complaining about the heat, right? We can spend all year complaining about the cold. Now it's the heat.
Give it 4 months and we'll be crying that it's so cold outside.
Ugh, I know. Well, as always, our final segment, up for debate 2021, round one, exits of the playoffs. Alexis, I have a feeling I know which was the most disappointing for you, but tell us the three teams that you gave as a selection and your decision, right? The choice that you liked.
So I'm going to be completely transparent here. When I made this graphic, it was before game 7 of the Maple Leafs and Canadian series. And did I have an opportunity to change it before it actually got posted? Yes, it did. But was I too upset to change it? Yes, I was. So I went with the Minnesota Wild, the Capitals, and the Blues, because I thought those were three teams that, you know, a lot of people thought might have done a little bit better. I think the Capitals and Wild, especially the Blues, because they played the Avs, I think not many people were surprised to see them lose, even though they were finished out the regular season strong and had a pretty good team put together there. Also, a lot of people were joking, like saying like, well, we weren't surprised that the Maple Leafs lost. So why would that even be on the graphic anyway? And it's like, well, I suppose you could put it that way. But
death,
yes,
taxes and the Toronto Maple Leafs leave it in the first round.
Some things never change. But yeah, the Minnesota Wild was the most disappointing for me. I would also say I was really disappointed by the Capitals loss, just because Boston is so good every year. And it's like, I really wanted the Capitals to do well. And I thought that was going to be a much better series than it was. So when it ended up not being that exciting of a series, I was like, wow, this is really disappointing. Not only did I want the Caps to win, but they didn't even really put a good showing here. So that one was disappointing. And they were the first team out of the playoffs, if I remember correctly. So that was kind of sad.
Did Pittsburgh lose pretty early on too?
No. Oh God, it was close. Maybe. There was like two teams.
I don't care about within
a day.
Anyway.
Yeah, forget about them. The Blues, I couldn't care less. I'm glad they lost in the playoffs. Good for them. But Wild and Maple Leafs were most disappointing. Jesse, how about you?
You know what? And you're gonna hate me for this. I think the most disappointing for me wasn't necessarily that the Blues lost to Colorado, was that they got swept.
Yeah.
I really thought that series was going to be better. So that's the only reason it's disappointing.
That's fair.
And it, you know, it would have been crazy to see St. Louis upset Colorado. Like, could we imagine the anarchy and chaos that would have ensued, right? But I think I just wanted a little bit of competition. I mean, I know Colorado is great, but we're seeing them manhandle Vegas too. So it's crazy. Like, thank God that the Wild are out. So I would say that series, just because I wanted more of a series. Like, sometimes sweeps are cool. Most of the time they're not, though. It's like, oh.
They're only cool if it's your team who's sweeping. Other than that, I don't want to sweep.
Or if it's Columbus upsetting Tampa, which apparently people forgot happened.
Yeah,
have you been seeing, like, the Twitter firestorm about that? Like, people were like, did we all just forget that Columbus was a huge upset? Like, Montreal upsetting Toronto a little bit, but not huge. And so it's just kind of funny. But, yeah, I would choose the Blues one. Because I've heard Boston was so good. Again, I didn't follow a lot of the Eastern teams this year, obviously, because we were so divulged in the West, but I heard Boston is tremendous, even better than they usually are. So that,
they've been playing great in the second round too. I wasn't necessarily surprised that Boston beat the Caps, but I just like, I thought it'd be much closer. Like your point with the Blues and Avs. I'm like, I wasn't surprised necessarily by this outcome, but I just was hoping for a better series. So, I thought we've gotten in the playoffs a lot of really good matchups. There's been 20 overtime games as of this Friday when we're recording this. So like we've gotten some really good matchups here in the playoffs, some really fun, exciting games.
Carolina-Tampa is going to be solid this round. I'm really loving it. But that's because, like I said, I love Carolina. I think they're just great. I know you went all Don Cherry on me last week. But I think they're a fantastic team to watch, and it's very, very exciting. So lots more of that to come in the weeks come. Again, if you guys have any really cool storylines, any coaches, players, moms, dads, brothers, sisters that you want us to highlight, shoot those stories over to us. We would love to do that, because we're going to just try a different approach to get us through this offseason before hockey returns in the state of hockey with the Minnesota Wild. Hopefully there's other events that we will be out at, so stay tuned for that exciting stuff. As always, shout out to our presenting sponsor, SodaStick.com. Use code BARDOWNBEAUTIES at checkout for free shipping on all of their stuff. We've got some BARDOWN BEAUTIES merch about to drop there for the summer, so that's going to be awesome. Teespring, we've got some summer merch as well, so be sure to give that a look. Shout out to Tony Hoagland. Shout out to Jim Beam. Cheers as always with them. Great around the campfire, right, Alexis?
Well, yeah, of course. You got to have a drink with you when you're out at the bonfire, and why not have it be Jim Beam, right?
Exactly. I'm all for that. Once it's 4 more weeks,
says the pregnant lady.
4 more weeks, we get to have a drink by the bonfire. We're very excited. And then as always, betteredge.com, BETTOR edge. BeatTheBeats.com. Code Beauts, B-E-A-U-T-S, will get you a free $10, which is always good. We're going to continue the Beat the Beaut throughout the whole cup. So if you guys missed out on round one or round two, be sure to stay tuned for round three. But they have offer plenty of other betting platforms and social exchanges on there. So check that out. That'll do it. As always, thank you to all of you for listening. Thank you to Talk North for giving us the platform and love. And subscribe, rate, share, keep this thing growing. We're excited to keep going throughout the summer. So enjoy. Have a great rest of your week. Bye.